This is Poolside Genius, where we always make a splash.
All right, we were sitting at the poolside and we started thinking about what exactly would we like to do in the summer. And we came to the idea of doing our positional rankings of all-time positions. But we're actually going to break it down a little bit further first. We're going to take a look at 20-year increments. And one of the ways that we organized this was pretty much by Bill Walsh's West Coast offense. If you talk about the 60s and 70s, you know, kind of that pre, you know, we really start getting into the passing game, and that's that pre-Walsh era, essentially, in terms of the West Coast offense. Now, again,
and then AW after Walsh, we get it.
And we get the 80s, 90s, which are the West Coast, you know, era, essentially. And then 2000s to 2010, that's really the post-Walsh era. And where we see some things change up quite a bit.
Well, you know, what's fascinating, and we're only obviously looking at it from, you know, essentially, like when you say the 60s, pretty much Super Bowl era, but a little bit before that. What I found interesting when...
Well, we didn't even say...
Well, for the...
Yeah,
for
we're doing quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to lead into that, but all right.
Thanks. But what I found interesting, even just looking at it, it's by looking at it in increments decade by decade and then grouping them by two decades, you really get to see how the game has evolved. I mean, what I found interesting is everyone, as you were saying, with before Walsh and after Walsh, you would think before Walsh, the passing game was less than once Walsh came. And that, in regards to that, that is true. But what I found interesting was the 60s, the passing game, there was like 300 per season, they averaged 380 attempts. Completion percentage compared to the 70s, pretty much the same. Their ratings were actually higher. And you think about the 70s, then there was the 70s, there was a dip in passing. And you think about, gee, why is that? Well, think about all those awesome defenses, whether it was the Steelers.
Well, you look at the great Vikings. You can talk about the defenses as well, but you also have to look at the fact that it was more of a vertical passing game.
Well, in the 60s, it was.
Well, they were still that emphasis. I mean, you start looking at the 70s, they were still throwing the ball deep. It was only towards like the mid to later parts where you start to see that emphasis on efficiency start to really come in.
True, but I think the other factor there is you think about the 70s. You had these incredibly powerful, unique running backs, O.J. Simpson, Tony Dorsett, the Dolphins with Zonka and Kick, Franco, Billy Sims a little bit, John Riggins. Just all these guys bashing the ball, handing the ball off because they knew passing-wise you didn't want the steel curtain coming down on you or the purple people eaters.
You know, if we could debate this all day, I would say that they were stubborn and inefficient by running the ball.
Exactly.
You know, and again, I think that helps these defenses look historically great, but that's a debate for another time.
But I think also when you bring upon what the 70s brought with the running game, it made Walsh's ingenuity even that much greater.
Yeah, and it would have never happened unless Greg Cook got hurt, you know, which ends up making him work with a weak-armed quarterback, and that's where it really starts to evolve into the West Coast offense, as Parcells would term it later on. But, yeah, so the format that we're going to follow today is we're going to look at the top five quarterbacks from the 60s and 70s. All right, we are going to rank them, put them in order, and kind of give our back and forth and justification for our rankings of each. Again, this is not very easy to do. I mean, once you really start looking back at the numbers and start looking back at the, you know, again, how much do you weigh victories? How much do you, you know, is the QB win more meaningful back in this time when they're calling their own plays in the 60s, you know, and for parts of the 70s? You know, I don't know. We're going to have to find out how we view that. But first,
Or are you looking at it as, is it somebody you would want to start a franchise with? Or are you just looking at just their accomplishments? Yeah. I would argue we're looking just at accomplishments.
Well, we're looking at a lot of different things. So, again, I think we're going to have to pick that on a case-by-case basis.
True.
But let's start off with our number one pick. Reams, you want to give who you had for number one?
Number one for the 60s/70s, I'm going to go with Johnny U.
Hey, I'm right there with you. Obviously, you know, this is something that everybody, you know, pretty much every list that you're going to find anywhere, probably for the 60s and 70s, is going to have Johnny U at number one. What reasoning did you use, Reams?
Well, I mean, he's the prototypical quarterback, the prototypical throwing quarterback. I mean, his completion percentage back then, when it was in the 60s, it was normally 51%. He was already above almost 55%. His winning percentage, 65% of the time he came away with wins. But what really where he really dwarfed everybody in the 60s and in the 70s also was the amount of yards he threw for. Granted, he had a lot of attempts, but he threw for over 40,000 yards, 290 touchdowns. I mean, you're talking about a three-time MVP.
And he had a quarterback rating of 81.2, which is remarkable in terms of efficiency for that time period. So he was doing something right. He won a Super Bowl. Again, not only did he win the Super Bowl, but he led them to that last second drive to tie the game up, and then would later on lead them to the victory. 10 Pro Bowls, three-time MVP.
Yep.
I mean, he's really the guy that kind of gave us the modern quarterback, as you kind of said earlier. Just phenomenal player. Again,
four-time overall champion.
Yeah, four-time overall champion. So, again, remarkable statistics, remarkable leadership, and, you know, he was a winner. So, I mean, I don't know that we can really argue that at all.
I would agree
with
you.
As we both had that there. So, we're going to take a look at our number two quarterback for the 60s and 70s. Reams, who'd you have?
Wow, you're coming back to me. Listen, this is, I think, just for me saying this name, me being a diehard Eagles fan, for me to say this name tells you everything I need that you should understand. I'm going to go with Roger Staubach. I believe he was just a flat-out winner, 73% winning percentage. He only played 11 years due to either being in the Navy, putting that time in, or believe it or not, he was injured.
20-plus concussions.
Yeah, he certainly was one of those guys that had that. He was a Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion. In terms of rating, 83.4, so efficiency was there. I'm not even going to get into how he scrambled or the yards he obtained on the ground. Granted, you're looking at a guy that was predominantly in the 70s, handing it off a lot. So he threw for almost 23,000 yards, but about 50 more touchdowns than interceptions in his career. So I believe just being the winner, he is my number two. How about you?
He is not my number two, but I would also add a few points. I have him a little bit later on in the list, but I would say he did coin the term Hail Mary that we use.
Yes, that's a
good
point.
Every single season. 6 Pro Bowls. He was first team all decade for the 70s. Again, he was man of the year in 78. Led in passer rating 4 times. Led touchdown passes in 73. Again, fantastic player. The first player to both win the Super Bowl MVP and the Heisman. Again, fantastic player.
But not your number two.
Great, great person in terms of his heroics as a part of the Navy. But my number two is the man who retired with just about every meaningful passing statistic record. At the time of his retirement, he is someone that was really one of the first true scrambling quarterbacks, multiple times appearing in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, he did not get a victory. He was an MVP, 4 Pro Bowls, 2-time All-Pro. Again, like I said, he retired as the leader in attempts, completions, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and QB wins, if you count that. It is Fran Tarkenton.
I am going to tell you, I had him as my third. I think everything you said, you're talking about a guy who threw for 47,000 yards. He also played for 20 years. This is where I had to come to a decision between him and Staubach. And Tarkenton being my third, the stats certainly speak for themselves. The problem I had, or what made me decide to go with Staubach, as an Eagles fan, for God's sakes, I went with Staubach because in the big games, he came through. In the big games, Tarkenton struggled. In his 3 Super Bowls, it just granted, coming up against some a good Miami team and a heck of a good Raiders team, you know, hey, I can understand it, but that's where why I went with Staubach.
I think that he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I mean, he really kind of changed the way the position was played and, you know, opened up that to a lot of other people. I mean, he's still in the top 10 in many passer statistics. Again, just an overall fantastic player.
He struggled when he was a Giant, though. Bad Giant team. Never really made them better.
Well, every great quarterback, you know, has some struggles from time to time.
And, I mean, this is where you can get into this debate, like, is it, and I think this is going to run, you know, a thread through all of how we look at quarterbacks, especially when we get into today's quarterbacks. Is it the quarterback himself, or does he fall into a position where he's well coached with a really solid organization? I think that all plays a part. Fran Tarkenton, there's a great example. He goes to the Giants, no talent. He really struggled. He goes with Bud Grant. They did pretty well.
Well, yeah, I would say just about any quarterback that goes into a tough situation usually struggles quite a bit. You take a look at the great Steve Young. He struggled early in his career. You look at Brett Favre. He struggled early in his career.
With
the Atlanta Falcons.
1 year, because he didn't even play with the Falcons.
Because it was a tough situation. Well, he wasn't mature enough. I mean, it took finding the right coach, the right situation for him.
I'm glad we're having this conversation, because when we get to the 2000s and 2010s, you're making my point for something that I know we're going to really butt heads on. But anyway.
All right, so let's take a look at number three. Now, this one, I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit, and somebody that a lot of people tend to forget about from time to time, but I picked Sonny Jurgensen.
Wow.
As my number three quarterback.
That's impressive, because I was going to put him in. It's tough with Sonny.
You know, I think he gets, he's treated a little bit differently just because he was so, he doesn't fit the normal quarterback mindset of the hard worker on the field. You know, he was a little rotund a little bit there, a little out of shape.
Injury prone.
But the man put up fantastic statistics. You know, he won. He did a lot of great things. You look at 32,224 passing yards, 255 touchdowns, an 82.6 passer rating. He had about 7.6 yards per attempt. Again, 57.1 completion percentage was pretty darn good at that point in time, you know, in the 60s. You know, he had 3 passing crowns, 5-time Pro Bowler. And this is what, you know, shaped my list a little bit, that kind of sent me in a different direction. And this is the great Vince Lombardi talking about our friend Sonny Jurgensen. He may be the best the league has ever seen. He is the best I have seen. Okay. That makes me, that made me think that he's definitely above another quarterback that Vince Lombardi has coached in his career. But, I think Sonny Jurgensen, again, oftentimes overlooked, fantastic player, and I had him as my number three.
He was a one-time champion. Any idea what team he was winning with that championship with?
Not the 19th, in the Super Bowl era.
No, though. You're right. That's why I said it. He was a champion. Not a Super Bowl champion, but he was a champion on the 1960 Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't play. It wasn't the quarterback. He was the backup quarterback. But anyway.
Hey, you still get points for that, right,
yes.
Jimmy G?
Well, hey, I'm sure he's probably in your top five. Shocker. But, listen, Jurgensen, I can see, he was almost going to be my fifth guy. It was between him and my fifth guy. Interesting name. So I got my top three. Unitas, Staubach, Tarkenton. Yours is Unitas, Tarkenton, and Jurgensen. Let's go to your fourth.
My fourth, that'd be Roger the Dodger.
Okay. Makes sense. All right, yep. You throw Staubach in there. I am going to put somebody in there from the old Boilermakers.
Wow.
Of Purdue. This quarterback, 6-time Pro Bowler, a 1-time league MVP, 2-time Super Bowl champion. This quarterback pretty much controlled the whole game himself, made all his own play calls. Now, granted, stats-wise, it doesn't really lead up or doesn't certainly reach Tarkenton's 47,000 yards. This quarterback only threw for 25,000, but he was surrounded by a heck of a good running game, and he was just flat out a winner. We're talking about Bob Greasy of the Miami Dolphins.
Bob Greasy.
He controlled the game. He called his own plays.
So what puts him above Terry Bradshaw? Terry Bradshaw called his own plays?
Okay,
well, I mean,
because Terry Terry Bradshaw, seriously?
I'm not a Terry Bradshaw fan. He's
awful.
Not in my top five, but
he's
awful. I wouldn't put Bob Greasy.
Listen, the Steelers won in despite of Bradshaw. Come on now.
The best deep passer of the 70s.
Okay.
So, with a
52% completion rate. Come on.
So you took him over Len Dawson, over Bart Starr?
Yes, I did. Simply because of the accomplishments of that Miami team. If you look at Bart Starr's stats, pretty similar to Greasy.
He was a much better running threat, though. Bart Starr was.
Okay. Yeah.
A little bit different.
Yeah. But Greasy could still maneuver. Starr was on loaded Packers teams. Now, granted, Miami had a lot of offensive talent, not great defensive talent. They were okay, the Bonacani group, but throughout his career in Miami, not necessarily the greatest defense. So if you're comparing it to the Green Bay Packers.
Wow, that's a real curveball. I didn't see him coming at all. I didn't even. If I was doing a top 10, I might not even have him on my top 10.
Oh, stop. Come on, Greasy.
For the 60s and 70s. Really?
68% winning percentage. Better than Unitas.
But that's
better
not
than,
a key
better,
stat.
Better than Lenny Dawson, but he won.
It's not like he's a starting pitcher.
Okay.
I mean, really? Wow. Wow. I wouldn't put him above even like Ken Anderson.
Come on, seriously? What did he accomplish?
He was fantastic. Above Len Dawson, above Y.A. Tittle, John Brody. Ah.
Y.A. Tittle in just the 1960s.
He was pretty remarkable in the 60s. Right? He crushed it early 60s, 61, 62, and 63. He had an MVP.
All right, so go ahead, your fourth.
Well, we already did my fourth. That was
Starbuck.
Roger the Dodger.
All right.
Now, we go on to the fifth.
Who do you want? You want me to say it? Or?
I'll say mine.
You're going to?
I'm taking the snake.
Wow.
Kenny Stabler.
I was thinking about him.
If you take a look at quarterbacks of the 1970s, Kenny, you know, is arguably the best. I mean, you take a look at... you know, he was just under 60% completion percentage, the best of any QB in the 70s that played at least 40 games.
Yes.
His yards per attempt and TD percentage were the best of the decade. He was the fastest QB to 100 QB wins, which, you know, at that time. But again, you know, that's a stat that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily view as highly. He won a Super Bowl, went to 4 Pro Bowls, was a 2-time first-team All-Pro. He led the league in touchdown passes in 74 and 76, and he was the 1974 MVP, Hall of Fame inductee.
And he struggled to be a Hall of Fame inductee. This is where I come back at you, and this is all I'm going to say. I think the snake, he was one of those guys I looked at, but I just can't get over the fact that he had 222 interceptions to only 194 touchdowns. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns. That just took him out of my top five for that reason only.
I mean, you know, I've heard you talk before about how a quarterback having an injury, you know, injuring their knees can definitely, you know, change their outlook. And I think, you know, that certainly has to play into it with Kenny Stabler.
And
the Snake was a fantastic
quarterback. He was a winner. He was a winner.
In the 70s, I mean, his accuracy was the best.
All right, let me tell you about another guy who was close in completion percentage. My number five was Len Dawson at a 57% completion rate, very similar to the 59.8 of Stabler, close enough. The only difference is he had 239 touchdowns to 183 interceptions. Much, much different detail there. And that's ultimately why I picked Dawson. Along with being a one-time Super Bowl champion, he was an overall three-time champion, Super Bowl MVP for the only time Kansas City has won the Super Bowl. He was an 82.6 rating, 62% of the time of a winning percent, threw for almost 29,000 total yards. Len Dawson's my number five. Seven-time Pro Bowler.
Again, that's a great pick. You know, somebody that I had on my list when I was researching, and I just kind of chose not to put him in. I mean, you know, I think both of our lists, a lot of similarities, some differences. You know, again, you can quibble about where certain people are. And certainly there are probably a lot of you out there that would think that, you know, you're going to have a say and think that many of these quarterbacks either shouldn't be on our list. There are others that were left out. Again, it was tough to let out the ultimate winner, Bart Starr. It was tough to leave out some of those other quarterbacks, you know, Ken Anderson, Bob Greasy for me, you know, Dan Fouts, Terry Bradshaw.
I got it for our one good buddy, buddy Howard Emerson out there. Dan Fouts, tough to – here's the difference. Dan Fouts was in the 70s and a little bit in the 80s, and that's where it's kind of tough to look at all of his stats. But you're talking about a six-time Pro Bowler, a guy who 80.2 rating, almost 60% completion on some terrible, terrible Chargers teams.
There you go. So if you want, you can use the Anchor app and you can call in and leave messages and tell us what you thought about our rankings. And again, maybe you'll hear it
or give your rankings.
So give us your rankings and things that you agreed with, disagreed with, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks again for listening to the Poolside Genius Podcast. Don't miss out on spending time poolside, so subscribe using iTunes, Stitcher, or any other major podcast platforms. While you are subscribing, we appreciate any feedback and 5-star reviews.
Remember, when you're poolside, always dive in the deep end.
Splash.